I can't recommend this enough to people out there that are not using these profiles. You look at the people that you're competing against, the big companies in your market. Trust me, they're all using profiles. They have recruiting systems in place. They have interview systems in place. They have training systems in place. This is how the best companies do it.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. And I have got another one of my favorite home improvement people here today, Brad Yoho. Welcome, Brad.
Always good to be on with you, Mr. Cascavalchin.
Yes, thank you. And I think this is your first time on the podcast. Dave has been here once or twice. And so now I get to talk with you. I like your new, you got a new look. You've got that new big bushy beard.
I'm trying it out. You know, I'm not 100% settled if I'm going to continue it, but I'm giving it a test.
You listen, that's a pretty good, that's pretty good there. I usually, by the time it gets to like, I don't know, whatever this is tiny little bit, the itchiness drives me insane. And then I have to like shave it off.
They have some pretty good products for it now, but I agree with you. The beard is not so bad. It's the mustache that bothers me.
The mustache, yeah.
That's the one that really bothers me. But yeah. I'm dealing with it. I'm learning the ropes.
Yeah. Well, looks good. All right. So let's start with, I want to kind of get your take. You have such a pulse on the industry. What are you hearing out there? What are you seeing out there with your clients? What's going on?
I think that more so now than ever, there is kind of a lot of uncertainty that people are hearing, facing. You know, it's no big secret. Lead generation is a massive issue right now. I think people are approaching that in different ways. I think one of the things that we're finding is the companies that are really successful today are really going back to some, you know, bread and butter tactics, older tactics, whether it be canvassing, shows and events, face-to-face lead generation, SFI programs, self-furnished install, whether that be in a Sam's Club, Home Depot, whatever the case may be. You're having to really do some of those tactics to generate leads successfully right now. Certainly you have some reduction as far as what's coming in online. And then I think, you know, you have some of the uncertainty with, you know, the political campaigns that are coming up. So it's an interesting time as far as lead gen goes. But I think, you know, the companies that we see that are really successful, Brian, are the ones that are not just focusing on, the online advertising lead aggregation. They're really hustling and going back to their roots and finding ways to interact with people face to face.
Yeah. If you're sitting in your office waiting for leads, if you are relying on an aggregator or aggregators and or your internet marketing company to provide enough leads for you, yeah, you're going to have a hard time. We've been talking about that here for a couple of months. And yeah, and you're absolutely right. The companies that are going to do well or that are doing well are leaving their offices and they're putting teams together, which is ugly, admittedly. I mean, you know as well as I do, it's not fun hiring all these people and going out and doing face-to-face lead gen and, you know, staffing stores and knocking on doors and going out to shows and events. But you want to make it in this business, you got to get really good at that stuff.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of companies that really were doing it so well prior to the pandemic, and then they got away from it, you know, for obvious reasons, couldn't do it anymore. So they lost all their people and, you know, they found replacements. And during, 2020, 2021, 2022, and somewhat into 2023, they were able to thrive. But getting back into the swing of things there and finding those people too can be challenging, especially if you've gotten out of the habit of doing it and making part of your culture.
What are some of the other things that you're seeing the more successful companies doing that others may not be doing?
I think the most successful companies are data heavy, right? And that's no big secret, but they're data heavy in a way where they understand what the key metrics are that they need to be tracking every day, every week, every month, every quarter. I think there's a tendency sometimes with some companies that they feel they have to track anything and everything all the time. And they're losing sight of what the most important numbers are to their business. So whether it's tracking the cost of an issued lead constantly, tracking their marketing costs, and seeing where that falls at, looking at their efficiency rating or NSLI, just keeping a pulse on those data points is so critical for your business. So I think being data heavy is crucial right now. Certainly, there's still challenges hiring too that we're seeing today. Still challenges getting the right people in the right seats. But even more so than that, I'd say there's also challenges where they may be getting the right people in the right seats, but they're not preparing them adequately to succeed in the role. So they're not providing the right training, not providing enough training, or when people are hitting a roadblock, they're not providing them with the tools to overcome that roadblock and succeed.
You know, our friend Brian Gottlieb, his new book is coming out soon, and he addresses this issue. And it's a really well done book. It's called Beyond the Hammer. By the time this goes out, I'm sure people can go to Amazon and pick it up. But it's exactly what you're talking about now, is how do you build that culture, the team. It's all about training and getting them engaged, with the company, in the vision, the mission of the company, and all of that. People is a big thing. And I know you guys have done a lot of work around hiring. Let's talk about that. Let's focus a little bit on that. In fact, your dad, so for those of you that don't know, Dave Yoho is like the godfather of our industry. Is that a fair assessment?
I think a lot of people would say that, Brian. Probably more specifically when it comes to bringing step selling to the industry.
Yeah,
I think that's probably what he's most known for. But there's certainly a lot of ways you can probably call him that, whether it be financial overviews or the disc profile.
You guys actually put on great events, two events a year, usually. I've been coming to your events. Luckily, found you guys in 2010, I believe, was our very first event, the one in Vegas. And I remember, I still to this day, for our events, I follow your dad's advice. He said, I asked him, I said, why are we here? We're like at an Embassy Suites, not even close to the Strip. And he said that he basically didn't want to expose people to gambling. And so for our events, we have two main rules. We don't want any gambling nearby, or we want to do our best to stay away from strip clubs. So gambling and strip clubs, we want to stay away from. But you got your next event is coming up in November, 11th to the 13th.
Yeah, correct. We're going to be at a great property. We've done a ton of events there over the years. It's right by our home base, Northern Virginia, which is about 45 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. For those who are not familiar with the Northern Virginia area, it's right by Dulles Airport, the Hyatt Regency Dulles. It's going to be a three-day event, although it's not three full days. It's a half-day, full-day, half-day event, and we're going to be tackling the biggest challenges that are happening in the industry today. Lead generation, lead efficiency will be a big topic at the event.
Yeah, cool. And Dave will be there?
I don't think there will ever be an event, Brian, while he's still with us that he won't be there. It's what he lives for.
Yeah. The last event was in Houston. And when I first saw him, I thought, my God, he's going like he's reverse aging. He looked actually better and had more energy and more of his, I hate to call it this, but he has it because he's one of those old school, like real men, piss and vinegar, but he's like so passionate, but he was like going backwards. You know, my dad is the same age as your dad. And God, what a difference. I mean, what a difference. But anyway, for those of you that have not met Dave Yoho, have not heard him speak, you're missing out. You got to go because he's the best.
Yeah, he will absolutely be there. And yeah. He'll be on fire as always.
Yeah, as always. Okay, so at the last event, actually, he put this in my hand and said, look, this is something that we've just been working on. And he was nice enough to send me a copy of it. This is great for those of you that are just listening to this. It's Disc Analysis Profile Tutorial and Advanced Training Workbook. And it's basically goes through the whole disc system and essentially how to use it for hiring and for, you know, dealing with people. Do you want to talk a little bit about this? Because I know people are still having a tough time hiring people,
sure,
doing it the right way and using profiles and understanding how to use the profiles in order to put the right people in the right seats.
Well, you know, circling back a little bit to what you said earlier, I've talked to Brian Gottlieb about this many times, you know, about creating a culture of whether it be accountability culture, or constantly hiring. You have to have that ingrained in what you're doing. It can't be a sometime thing. It has to be an every time thing. You have to be prepared for when you really need to have people on your team, because you never know when that's going to happen. So there's probably kind of different subsections of people listening and their knowledge base on the disc. So let me start there real quickly. For those of you who don't know what the DISC is or don't know a lot about it, it's a behavioral assessment. It's been around for a long time. We did not invent the DISC profile. We have our own DISC profile, but if you go search the internet, you see thousands of results. And what it essentially does, it matches an individual to a specific position. It's a fit tool. So whether someone, let's say, is a strong sales performer, they might have a behavior where they're a little more dominant. They're great conversationalists, typically. And then you could counterbalance that against somebody who, say, if you're looking for someone like an accountant who's very detail-oriented, is strong with numbers, but they're not the most, you know, verbose type of people, shall we say. Those are the types of things that you're looking for when you're evaluating the fit. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I know you're probably going to ask me some more direct questions about this. But part of what we're trying to teach Brian today about the DISC is that it was used incorrectly by a lot of people because people will call it a test. It's not a test. I'm going to start there. It's not a test. It's a assessment where you can evaluate a fit. It's not a right or wrong answer type of a thing. So a lot of times people will present it the wrong way. And because of that, I think we'll see a little bit today that people have some negative perceptions about assessments, not just in our industry, but throughout society, that they're a disqualifier. But it's about how you present it to someone. And then on top of that, it's not just about using it to bring the right people in. It's about using that disc to provide them with a roadmap to succeed once they're on your team. So you have to really pair the two together to make it successful.
For those of you that are very familiar with disc, forgive us for a minute, but let's do the basics, Brad. What is DISC, and what is it kind of? Well, give us what is D, what is I, what is S, what is C? What is that? Those people, what are those people like?
Sure. So When you see a disk profile, it's essentially a graph, and it'll show you how high or low someone is in these four components. D stands for dominance, which is essentially if someone's dominant, there could be someone who's a strong leader. It could be somebody who, from a sales perspective, has no qualms about asking for the order when they're in the home. Let's talk about I for a second. I, which stands for influence. High I's are very conversational. People like them. They're what I would call socially aggressive types of people. Low I's, they're more content kind of being on their own, working alone. That's really where they thrive almost. It's just kind of being lone rangers. S's are team players. If you have a high S, there's someone who works well in a team environment. And then we'll talk about C last. C's, high C's, cross the T, dot the I, super detail oriented. So when you're looking at a behavioral profile like the DISC, it's important to note that someone cannot be high in all four behavioral styles. It's just not possible. You can't be high D, I, S, and C across the board. Everyone has strengths. Everyone has areas where, you know, it's just not their strong suit. So it just lets you know more information about the individual than you might be able to gain in an interview setting or by reading their resume, by just getting a little bit of more information about them online.
Yeah. So as an example, so let's use an example. If we're looking for, so you mentioned an accountant. So an accountant, they want to be, and I know all about this because we just started the Profit Masters, the bookkeeping and profit coaching and all of that. So we're hiring a bunch of bookkeepers. They just put me in a cubicle. I don't want to talk to anybody. Let me just work my spreadsheets. I'll do it right. I'm going to get them all right, but don't mess with me. Just leave me alone. And what's funny about these people, Mark always says this, these are the type of people that will go sit in their car and have lunch rather than go in the break room and lunch with everybody else. So it's kind of funny. So that's a C on one end of the scale. And then a D, like I'm a D, your dad is a D. A lot of our, you know, the owners of these businesses are high D's. And this is like, we want to win, we want to crush, we want to, you know, we want to destroy. And then I's are people, they want to be liked. And then S's are kind of what, you like you said, they're team players.
Yeah.
Aren't the majority of people S's, like a high S? Isn't it like some crazy amount, like 60% of people are high S's?
That's an interesting point. I don't know if I've seen that, Brian. Now, granted, I would say that for what we do, the majority of people, when we're looking at their profiles, it might be a little skewed because we're not looking at it from the perspective of what most of the country might be. We look at a lot of sales patterns. We look at a lot of leadership patterns. So that's a good point.
Let's talk about what those look like. Okay. So for example, and so I just kind of wanted to lay out the DISC, but then let's talk about a salesperson. Like what is a typical, because you guys have a very specific profile you're looking for in the profile for a salesperson. But let's talk a little bit about what a salesperson looks like.
Most of the time you're going to want to hire someone who is what we call a high D, high I. Now, usually when you have a behavioral profile, you have what we call a predominant behavior, which means that's the highest of the four, the D, I, S, and C. So the D, let's say, may be the highest. And then the I would be the secondary behavior. So what you're really looking for is for them to have a D and an I that are high. In counterbalance with that, if their D and their I and their high, their S and their C, they're going to be low. So what that might mean is, again, high D's, they're not going to have any problems overcoming objections most of the time. They're not going to have issues asking for the order multiple times if necessary. High I's are people persons, as I said. The other thing that we look for in a strong salesperson and something that our this profile measures is what happens to them under stress. So for an example, in a sales role, what you would want to have happen is you want their eye to go up under stress. That's a really good sign of somebody who can be successful. If you think about it, just in a kind of a sales scenario, and it's a stressful type of a situation, you would want your salesperson to work towards better communication and their I going up under stress as opposed to their D going up and maybe really offending a prospect, yeah. if that might make sense. Yeah. So these are the types of things that you can look for when you're hiring. It shows what their behavior is under stress, which is a pretty good tool to evaluate someone's success.
Yeah. And it's such an interesting little thing too. Like it, that would be hard to bring out in somebody in an interview if you didn't have this tool, because how are you going to put them under stress and how are you going to know how they react? I mean, I guess you could manufacture it, but it's really interesting to see that ahead of time. What are some of the other, I know sales is like one of your top ones, but what's like the next one? And what does that profile look like?
Another pattern that people will typically hire for or use the disc for would be, let's say, like a canvasser or a show and event promoter or a call center representative. Those are generally about the same. It's still kind of a sales similar pattern, shall we say. It's similar to a sales pattern. Although the D doesn't necessarily need to be as high because they're not really selling people per se. They're selling people on a concept. They're not facilitating a sale. So you want the I or the influence pattern, the communication strength to be the leader in that. That's one. Leadership patterns are another one that we look for. Leadership patterns, there's things you need to be aware of. So let's say you're hiring for a sales manager and you want somebody who can rein in your salespeople, because in all likelihood, if you have strong sales performers, some of them are going to have extremely high Ds, or what we call dominance. And if you don't have someone who's capable of harnessing that, they're just going to get overrun. So yeah, these are the types of things you look for when you're evaluating personnel.
You mean a high D's ego can get in their way?
Sometimes. Would you say that, Brian?
And somebody needs to like rein that in?
Yeah. I mean, it's like managing a thoroughbred in the sales perspective. You think about kind of these strong sales, almost like mavericks. You know, they have high ego drive. You have to constantly kind of make them feel like they're valued. And at the same time, you want to make sure they're not, you know, causing negativity in the rest of your sales team. That could be a really, you know, you have someone who's selling $3.5 million a year. But at the same time, if they're causing the rest of your salespeople, if they're acting out in meetings, if they're just basically saying in a meeting scenario, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to do that. I'm selling $3.5 million a year. Okay. You don't mess with them because they're successful, but you need to make sure they're not causing negativity among the rest of your team.
Yeah.
And this is what these things will tell you, but by reading somebody's behavior, they're more apt to act this way.
Yeah. It's that time again. Accelerate Live 2025 is happening at the beautiful Omni Resort on Amelia Island, February 11th and 12th, with special bonus workshops on the 13th. If you enjoy this podcast and still haven't made it to an Accelerate Live, now is finally the time to take the leap and see why this has become the number one event for owners, operators, and leaders in the home improvement industry. For 2 days, you'll discover proven strategies, plug-and-play tactics, tools, and resources on what's working now in sales, marketing, production, leadership, profitability, and mindset. You'll see exactly how to build the business of your dreams better, faster, stronger. You'll network with your peers and industry legends. You'll forge lifelong connections that can transform your business and change the course of your life. So if there's one event you attend in 2025, make it Accelerate Live. Tickets will go fast, so grab your seat today at accelerateevent.com. That's accelerateevent.com. And make sure to use coupon code PODCAST25 to get an extra $100 off. That's PODCAST25. You have nothing to lose because of our 100% risk-free guarantee. So don't wait, secure your spot today, and I'll see you there. Well, and also what you learn about is what they are not good at and what expectations that you probably should not put on them. So like a high D, like me is, and a lot of the other owners, we're like, we have the entrepreneurial ADD. We're just go, go, go. We're not cross the T's, dot the I's people. We're not into the details. And so you need to understand who you are and then who can counterbalance you. And how do you work together in order to make the thing happen? Because, you know, me alone, I can't do it. I need to have a team of people around me that are counter and bring in the skills and the behaviors that I don't possess. I mean, I'm a pain in the ass. I'm a roadblock. You know, let's talk about the DISC profile and the owner and building a team around the owner, because that's also critical use of the profile, right?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is by far the least used part of when somebody becomes a customer of ours and uses our DISC. They use it for hiring, so they'll use it for hiring, and then it just goes away. You know, they'll put it's in their online portal, but they'll never look at it again. And that's really a disservice when you're trying to build that team. You need to understand how these behaviors interact with one. So one of the things we have, the workbook you held up earlier, is a behavioral compatibility chart. So it shows how different behaviors interact with one another. I don't remember what page it's on, sorry, but it's probably towards the back. It shows how different behaviors interact with one another. So, for example, high D's and high D's, they get along better than a high D and a high C would. It tells you that. So you go into this knowing that in all likelihood, if you have someone who's a high D and if you have someone who's a high C as part of a team that you're building, there's more of a potential for conflict there. It lets you know that. Doesn't mean that they can't work together. It's just letting you know. It's giving you information. I think that's really cool. And also, I would say, I love what you said earlier about using the example of hiring an accounting person and them maybe not wanting to eat with the team and going off for lunch. Think about it if you're managing that type of person. If you didn't know that, you might think that they were being, you know, intentionally rude or disrespectful. That's just their behavior. It's not right or wrong. It's just who they are. If they're performing well in their role and they have these quirks, let's call them, that, you know, you may not prefer, but at least you know this is just who they are as an individual.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to pick one here because there's so much interesting stuff here. Let's look at like a dynamo, high D, high I, very low S, and way below the line on C. And so what's interesting about this is, so you have them do their, profile, and then you can come to this. This to me is kind of like a cheat sheet. Because the profile gives you all of this stuff, but it's in how many pages? It's like 150 pages on each.
The DISC report?
Yeah.
It's about 30 pages.
Yeah, but I'm exaggerating, but it might as well be 100. To me, it might as well be 100. I want to see it on one page. That's the high D in me, right?
Sure.
So like dynamo inspirational, what is their value to the organization? They have a strong work ethic. They're alert to new ideas, high demands of self and others, implementers of ideas of others, and they see objections as interests. And there's a high need to win. And so there you go. That is one of the profiles you're looking for in a salesperson.
Or a manager.
Yeah. But under pressure, they could become belligerent or quarrelsome. So you could get in a fight with them. supervisory technique. Help them plot the course of their goals while reducing confrontation. Use language replacement techniques to aid in diplomacy with others. Establish control and limitations for internal meetings. During setbacks or perceived failures, ask, what is your learning curve? Encourage personal development. And then I think it's over here where it says kind of who they you don't want to play with. They can be extremely effective in getting others to see their point of view. Their sales style may lead to intimidation. And then this is my favorite section at the bottom, caution. If the individual who is managing or supervising the dynamo person is a high D, this may lead to confrontation and discord in the relationship and frequently a battle of egos. It's like managing a thoroughbred horse. If you want to utilize inspirational behavior, you have to become a competent handler. So there you go. In like two pages, you just got like not all you need to know, but a lot about how this person operates internally. And you know, you're right. What's really cool about these assessments and these profiles is there's really no wrong answer. I remember when I was younger, I was probably, 28, 29 years old. I was in business for probably at that point, 4 or 5 years for myself. And I didn't have any of this stuff. I mean, I didn't know any of this stuff. I was learning marketing and I wasn't, you know, learning about how to deal with people. Although I had people, I wasn't a great leader. But then I took one of these profiles. It wasn't a DISC. It was something else. And I was going through this period where I thought something was really wrong with me. My ADD was all blown out. I worked a certain way. I was off on different, and I thought there was something seriously wrong with me, and I tried to change it. And then I took this profile and it came back. And the first thing it says is, you're perfect just the way you are. And then I read it and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's me. Oh yeah, that's what happens to me when I get stressed. Oh yeah, that's what happens. And man, that made me feel so much better about myself. So these things can be really, really powerful. And it's good to get one on yourself. If you've never done it for yourself, that's a great place to start.
I think that's such a great message, Brian, because again, circling back to what I said earlier, I think there is a negative perception about a lot of these assessments, and it's really about how they're presented to someone. You know, you have someone come into your office and they're like all low energy. Oh, we're going to give you this test here. And, it's going to probably factor into whether we hire you. Okay. Well, what's someone going to think about that? They're going to think that this is something that is a pass or fail scenario, and it's going to not only maybe influence how they take it, it's going to give them a negative perception about these types of assessments moving forward. It's such a great way that you put that, because this is not a test. It's a measurement of behavior. It's not a right or wrong type of thing. The other thing I'll tell you that's interesting about behavior is behavior is not static. And a lot of times people use the words behavior and personality interchangeably. They're actually very different. So you'll see personality assessments like Myers-Briggs. That's probably the most famous one out there. But it's not the same as a DISC, because your behavior can change over time. You see it all the time. It can't change super dramatically. Like you'll go from a D that's on the floor to a D that's, you know, through the roof. That doesn't really happen. But it can change over time. So you see, and we coach people, you know, if you have time to bring someone along, let's say in a sales role, maybe they're not the perfect fit right now, but they're close, and you can guide them. You can pair them with people who may have a stronger D, a higher D, and have them learn from them over time and bring them along and coach them in that role to be successful, because their behavior can change over time. We see it all the time.
I think I have a couple different versions of my DISC, and you're right. I think depending on the period I was going through, I think it did change a little bit. But the basics, I think, of who we are as people, I think the basics don't change. And so this does a really good job of bringing that out. When you are, I got, you know, a lot of people who use this for sales, they should use it really for everybody that they're going to hire. Are there ways to benchmark the position and the type of profile you're looking for?
Yes, we actually have a benchmarking study that we put out. It's a separate document than the one you just showed. And we took, we've been doing this for a very long time, as you alluded to. So we kind of just did a bunch of surveys and responses based on different profiles for about 28 different positions in the organization and what an average of a profile might look like. You know, it varies a little bit depending upon the organization. I mean, it's the term administrative assistant, for example, can mean different things depending upon what their job duties are. But it definitely gives you a good, some good guidance because for a while, I think, and still to this day, a lot of companies will only use this to hire salespeople. They won't use it for other hires in their company. And well, it's not a sales assessment. It can be used to hire anybody in your organization. So that is something that we have available for people.
I remember years ago, Addy wanted to get good at this. Addy is my business partner, and she was the one that really handled HR and culture. And she did an amazing job, thank God, because left to me, I would not have been able to do it. And she bought your the precursor to this, although I think you still have it, the whole, you know, how to hire using the profiles. And she got really good at the whole profiling thing and what we are looking for different positions. How, from your experience, if I am building out a team, and I'm looking for, say, I'm looking for a marketing manager or a production manager, you have benchmarks for these, like what a good marketing manager looks like. How accurate would you say these are?
About 85 to 90% accurate on average. You know, I don't think there's anything that's 100% anywhere.
Yeah, and if I was to guess, I would have said 80. So 85, 90 is really good. So if someone's out there and you are not using these things, these tools, hiring is such an important thing in a business. It's critical to your success. A good hire can make all of the difference in the world in your business, and a bad hire can set you back, cost you money, cause you grief, sleepless nights. It could be a mess. A bad hire can be a cancer with other people. So why aren't people using these things more?
That's a good question, why they're not using it more. Part of it has to do that we find that the champions internally at companies may actually end up leaving that company, ironically enough, because that's kind of what you're just talking about. So you have a champion. It's not usually, sometimes it is, sometimes it's the owner of the business, but it could be, you know, someone in HR, it could be someone in management who's the champion for that company. They leave the company. You know, and they just go away from it. And it's just like you have to stay on top of things. You have to do it consistently. You know, it's not a sometimes thing. Hiring is not a sometimes thing. So we do see a lot of people who use this occasionally. They'll use it when they're in a panic, shall we say. We need someone right now, so let's get back to what we were doing. And then they start building some success and they get away from what made them successful. So I don't know if that answers your question,
Yeah,
but.
you know, I was just thinking one of the most frustrating things, and you this must frustrate you too, is when the tools are there. I say it all the time. This business, I mean, you guys have been doing showing people the way how this business works for 50 years. Nothing's new. A few things might change here and there. You know, internet marketing came along, so now we've got digital marketing, but it's all based on direct response marketing. It's all the same stuff. It's just now we have more data, but the basics are all the same. And so why are people out there reinventing the wheel? Yesterday, I'm on a call with one of our Success Society members, and he's looking to hire salespeople. Okay. And he's in a group of dozens of other business owners. Some of these business owners are doing tens of millions of dollars a year. They have big sales teams. He's trying to hire a couple salespeople. Okay. So what does he do? He uses ChatGPT to come up with an ad for a salesperson. I said, read, he says to me on the call, we're having a hard time finding salespeople. I said, read me the ad. What does it say? Do you know what he put in there? He put in there that it's commission-based only, and you get 10%, you get 8% when you start, you get 10% after such and such time. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Where'd you get that from? Why would you put that in the ad? No wonder no one's coming. No one wants it. They don't know what that means. And so I said to the guy, I go, dude, you've got all these other people. All you have to do is go into the portal and you got to just into our hub and just say, hey, can anybody share with me their hiring document for a salesperson? And it's like, why are you trying to reinvent the wheel? These tools are out there for you. With you guys, we've used your DISC profile now things for years. It's like, why would I go reinvent the wheel? It's already done. It's already there. But it's so frustrating to me that, and it's the same thing with like selling systems. There's a step selling system. There's a bunch of them out there. You guys have one. John has one. There's a bunch of other people that have them. And it's like, go pick one. They're all good. Go pick one, study it, learn it word for word, slide by slide, execute it, see how it performs, you know, make adjustments, ask people, you know, help me with this, help me with that. And yet there, you got people that are there for months creating their own sales presentations. I'm like, what do you know about building a sales presentation? Number one. And number two, you have better things to do. Somebody else has already done it.
There's so much.
I know. I just had to. And that's.
I do want to respond because, you know, in people's search to make things easier, they actually overcomplicate things. And, you know, you and I both have kind of a marketing background. That's how we cut our teeth. Automation is amazing. It's, you know, one of the best things that's come out in the last 20, 25 years. But I think, you know, when you talk about things like ChatGPT, they're almost trying to over automate. You know, you can't use that as a plug and play right now without tweaking it, without taking that and, you know, looking it over, making sure it fits what you're actually trying to put out there into the market. So yeah, I think people are searching for the magic bullet, you know, this kind of silver, you know, this just kind of this magic bullet that's going to make things easier for them. And it doesn't really exist. I mean, you got to still put in the work. You got to still put in the time, but there are tools that are available to you. So you take something like the DISC profile. Yes, this is a tool that if you use correctly, if you use over and over again in your business, it's going to lead to better hires. It's going to lead to less mishires. And we put out a study on the true cost of a mishire every single year. And it is unbelievable.
How much is it this year?
It's a little bit dependent upon whether you're measuring it against 30, 60, 90 days. And we do it in the sales department. I believe the last study we did, it was for 30 days. And that what that means is, you know, you issue leads to them for 30 days. And you're piling that on top of training costs and hiring costs. You know, it's somewhere in the range of $16,000 to $19,000. That's on the low stuff. So
that's on the low side. Yeah.
That's on the low side. So I mean, think about
There's also the opportunity cost of the missed leads. So
opportunity cost. Yeah. You mentioned it, the negative impact it can have on the rest of your team. It's somebody who's, you know, just having a detrimental impact on the rest of your sales team. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So what I would suggest is, you know, look, I was very fortunate. I had a business partner that took this on. And by the way, I remember too, here's something interesting. So as owners, as leaders, we have a certain, I think a certain instinct, and it gets us in trouble, but it also is who we are, and it makes us, you know, it makes us who we are. Let me just say that. And so anyway, I remember we had a key hire, and I wanted this person bad. Addy ran the profile and gave me all the reasons why. No, this person is not going to do this. They're not going to do that. They're not. And I'm like, it's okay. That's the profile of this person. We have to look at the positives of it. So we had to go back and forth a little bit. And eventually, it turned out to be an amazing hire, like not even a good hire, an amazing hire. And so using these things is important, but you still also have to have a little bit of that instinct. And the way that you get that instinct is through studying these things and understanding, what does it mean? What do these things mean? What do these different behavior profiles look like? How are they going to act? And I hate to tell people you got to go study, but if you want to be a real leader and if you want to really grow a business, you got to be good with people, because this is a people driven business. You know, you can have the best selling system in the world, but if you don't have the right people selling using that system, ain't going to work. It ain't going to work.
100%. And that's not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, as we try to kind of, you know, I think there's some people, at least people I hear from, that try to lessen the impact that people have on their business as they search towards more automation and things of that nature, and technology, as it continues to improve. It's not going to replace the great people you have in your company. It's not going to happen.
No. And the older I get, the more I realize how little I'm good at, and how many holes have to be filled. And I think a lot of people, I think one of the reasons why maybe people don't use these as much as maybe they should is maybe their egos get in the way and they think, well, you know, I don't need that. I know how to hire people, or I know what I'm looking for. The opposite of that is nobody can do it like I can do it. You know, I don't need all of these people. I can do it myself. Well, you ain't going to get very far. You'll have control, but you ain't going to get very far.
We've heard both of those responses for years.
We'll see it a lot. All right. Well, this has been good. I'm looking at the clock here. So people can go to, you know, we'll put it all in the show notes too, but, what's the website that they can go to?
The best way, if you want to learn more about the DISC, the best way to do it is we have a webpage you can go to learn more about. It's just DaveYoho.com/DISC. There's a lot of information on there. There's information on how you can get started. So I encourage everyone to take a look at it.
And do you think that if somebody takes the profile themselves, if they're not using it in their organizations, look, I can't recommend this enough to people out there that are not using these profiles. Look, you look at the people that you're competing against, the big companies in your market, trust me, they're all using profiles. They all have recruiting systems in place. They have interview systems in place. They have training systems in place. This is how the best companies do it. And in order for you to compete, you're going to have to start somewhere. My question to you is, could they start with like taking the profile themselves so they see what it's like, and then, you know, judging that against themselves, profiling the people that are around them in their office currently. And then would this, like if they were to go through this, would that give them a really kind of a good sense of what this is all about?
Yeah, sure. You're 100% in the nail on the head, Brian. The first step is taking it yourself. And you cannot understand what you are looking for in an individual until you understand your own behavior. You've never taken a DISC profile, whether it be ours or someone else's. You need to take it yourself. And we're happy to, you know, anyone else who's listening in, we'd be happy to send a complimentary profile to anybody for them to take.
Yeah, if you want to give me a link to that, we'll, again, that's another thing we can put in the show notes here. Because if you haven't taken one, you need to take one and really take it more so you can kind of see how what it tells you, how accurate it is. And you got to be open to it being accurate and then learning from it and then how to use it to build the team around you. So we'll do that. Well, Brad, always a pleasure chatting with you. Hopefully this was a valuable episode for those listening. This is a huge, huge thing. Hiring is such an important part of the business, building a team, building a great culture. So hope this was valuable for everybody. And until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.